Let's pause. Oh God, make sense of your words to us. And may your words break through, give us guidance and direction for the days ahead. May all that we say and do be glorifying to you. Oh God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, this past week was the beginning of Major League Baseball. And I guess there's a new movie out about that Jackie Robinson. Sorry, how many of you are baseball fans? Quite a few of you, all right. I was reading a magazine the other day, and it was quoting a retired pitcher. I think he's retired. His name is Jack Morris. And Jack Morris was a pitcher with Detroit Tigers. And he said, in my career, I was really good because I was motivated by the fear of failure. I hate losing more than I love winning. And every time I was on the mound, I worked so hard because I was terrified of failing. Now, we know that there are so many different kinds of fears. We fear not being useful or needed or wanted. We are fearful of other people. We're fearful of certain environments or places. We fear the unknown. We fear the future. We fear change. Or we fear failure. The disciples were fearful for their life. They were afraid of persecution or punishment, imprisonment, or put to death because they were a follower of Jesus. So they put up walls of fear. They were hiding, they huddled together and they're holed up in this house, and they were paralyzed and immobilized by fear. They self-imposed fear symbolically and literally. But in answer to fear in the resurrection and in Easter, Jesus goes through the walls. Jesus goes through the fear. Jesus gets to them and gets through to them. And as he is meeting with them, he is trying to give them advice of how to get through their fears. Sometimes fear locks us in that we can't move forward, we can't get out, and we don't know what to do. And that was the case with them. And Jesus tries to give them tools in the same way that Jesus wants to give us tools to get out of our fears. First thing he says is, "Peace be with you." He says it three times. We know that one of the titles of Jesus is Prince of Peace. And we know that his peace passes understanding, and his peace is not of as the world gives, but it's a perfect peace. And Jesus is trying to diffuse their anxiety and worry. His sweet words are like a healing balm in response to times of depression or desperation or panic or to worry about the sky is falling or the world is ending. Many times Jesus says, "Go in peace," after he healed someone. With peace, there's a sense of safety and security and certainty, a calm and a confidence that Jesus can give. And we feel at peace, there's no guilt or conflict or anxiety eating away at us. "Peace be with you" is meant to neutralize the stress and the distress and the fear. Instead, we become indwelled with balance and equilibrium and harmony and rhythm. Not only do we receive those words from Jesus, but we say that every Sunday when we are here, "Peace be with you and also with you." It's to promote contentment and health and well-being. It's like a mantra or meditation that we sprinkle on people or pour on others. It's as if we're saying, "We wish you well. We're offering you a blessing, a prayer. Be at peace. Take courage. Be well. Be in faith. Calm down. Take a breath. Relax. Let go. Surrender." But sometimes we say, "Well, how do I reach that state of being? How can I calm myself down? How can I quiet what is going on in my head when I'm experiencing panic, desperation?" In verse 22, he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." What it means is that finding peace not only requires letting go, but receiving. Now, many of us spend all of our days giving and giving and giving, or working and working and working, or achieving and achieving and achieving, or succeeding and advancing. But sometimes what we need to do is just receive. Receive the nurturing of the Holy Spirit, the filling of God's goodness, to drink in God's mercy and grace. We have a hard time doing that because we're so independent, we try to find our own spiritual nourishment, or we try to produce our own inspiration, or we're trying to pump ourselves up, but we can't do it by ourselves. We fall short. Our well becomes empty. Our reservoirs, our rivers that are flowing out of us are drying up. According to Scripture, we have to let go, but receive. Receive of God's message, the Holy Spirit, and to forgive. On Good Friday, there was 7 last words, and Gwen was preaching about, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus was asking God to help him forgive them. Why does Jesus have to ask God to forgive them? Because Jesus could not forgive by himself. And we need God's help. And we need to ask God to help us to forgive those who don't know what they have done for us or to us, because we can't do it ourselves. Or it says, if the sins are retained, if you retain the sins of any, then yours are retained. What does that mean? I interpret it this way. If we are holding a grudge against someone for the wrong that they did, we think we can punish them. We think that we can get them back and hurt them by not forgiving them. But what the scripture says is, you're only hurting yourself. When we keep that anger or bitterness and we plot revenge, we are only hurting ourselves. It doesn't hurt that person. The anger, the animosity, it produces an acid inside of ourselves and it wears us down and it feeds the fear. We often also make the mistake of trying to explain something away or rationalize or try to employ logic or proof. We want to debate, and we have doubt, and we have skepticism, and we drift toward this lack of openness and belief in faith. We have this closed-mindedness to miracles or to something supernatural can happen beyond science and explanation, and that's what Thomas was doing. It's this harsh analysis and critique and judgment all the time. This week, I came across this article entitled Wired Together, and Andrew Root in the article is making the case that our brains naturally want to connect with other brains. We were meant to read each other's mind, to have empathy. One example he talked about was like when, have you ever thought of someone, and then before you know it, they're calling you? That happened to me last week. I was thinking about a friend I hadn't talked to the whole summer, and I kept telling myself, I need to call him. And the next moment, he's calling me. Our souls have a desire to connect and to have fellowship. But Ruth says the opposite of that, the opposite of empathy, is this word he calls Schadenfreude. And it must be a German word, but it means to take joy in another's misfortune or to take joy when someone else fails. And related to Schadenfreude is this competition and comparison where there's this winner and this loser, which results in fear being the motivator. Ruth says that comparison, competition breaks that empathetic bond to where we lose a feeling for and with another, and we become more into self-interest and self-fulfillment, and eventually it leads to loneliness. and more fear, and it moves us away from other people. It's a difference between moving against someone versus moving towards someone. Jesus says, "Peace be with you. As the Father is sending me, I'm sending you." Where is Jesus sent? Jesus is sent through the wall, through the fear. Now, if God is sending Jesus through the wall and through the fear, and it says, as God has sent me, so I send you, where is Jesus sending us? Jesus is sending us through the wall, through the fear. Metaphorically speaking, of course. And sent out into the world. And we know that the world is filled with fear. And not to run away, not to escape, not to hide, not to some perfect place or utopian existence, but Jesus is called to face the world, as Jesus is calling us to face the world, to embrace the world, and to interface with people. Or as Ruth says, to indwell with other people as we are wired together, as we relate and connect and fellowship and have right relationship. But not all fear is bad. Leah Wolverton was talking to me about a new kind of fear. It's called FOMO. Have you heard of FOMO? Does anybody know what that means? It's fear of missing out. Thomas missed out the first time, and Jesus didn't want him to miss out. Jesus was bringing him back. Fear of missing good things. Fear is a good motivator in that way. And so God says, don't miss out on the joy. Don't miss out on the goodness and grace and mercy that God has for us. Peace be with you. Amen.